Welcome to A Dopamine Kick.
Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 93 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are following on from our habits episode and talking about how to build better habits in spite of your ADHD.
Just to let you all know, because you might be concerned, I am still alive, by the way, from last week's episode of talking about how I drank antifreeze at the end of the episode. Woohoo! Shell, you're not alone!
I still can't believe you drank antifreeze. I'm still reeling from that.
Fortunately, I'm still here, so you're going to have to put up with me for a little bit longer.
Just a little bit longer.
Just a little bit more. Ooh, just a little bit more. Anyway.
And this is why we've never branched out into video.
Thanks very much for listening to us. If you do want to support the podcast, you can do so by clicking on the link that we'll put in the description. We would be so, so grateful for your support. As you may be aware, there is costs in running a podcast, so this would help us tremendously. So thank you to anybody who decides to join the Patreon or just give us a one-off donation. We really, really appreciate it. So this week we're talking about how to build better habits with ADHD. Now, we did do a habits episode a long time ago when we thought we were neurotypical people, but we're not. So we've changed it slightly to reflect ADHD. So the first thing that can really help build habits that I believe has helped me is to change the narrative. So last episode, I talked about how I really hated washing and I really hated doing the mundane chores. And even though I really hate them, they are things that need to be done. So I've just got to a point now where I thought I need to change the narrative surrounding what I'm doing. I think the best way to change the narrative is by accepting that even though chores may be awful, they still need doing. And instead of sitting in a negative space thinking I can't be bothered, I really hate this, which can be really self-destructive, is to change the narrative and tell yourself that even though you might hate doing something often, that it's good for you, that there's a better way to believe in something. So for example, instead of saying to myself, oh, I really hate the washing, I can't be bothered, think about the positives of the situation. So, you know, it's nice to have nice clean clothes. It's nice to be able to just pick what I want instead of rushing around stressing about what I'm going to be wearing.
Just think how empty your chair would look without all those clothes.
Exactly. And just think I wouldn't need to put that blanket over the top when people come round, or think, I wonder what they're going to think's under there. Especially when someone asks for like, oh, have you got a towel or have you got this? And you're running around going, oh my God, because they've spilt something and you have to pull up and it's all the clothes are under there. Or, you know, you recorded with like guests on the podcast and you can see the massive chair behind me, just like a buffy towel thrown over the top of it or something.
Yeah, that's definitely happened.
So, yeah, just think about how you can rephrase what you're saying to change the narrative of the particular thing that you dislike. Because if you're saying to yourself all the time, I really don't like it, I can't be bothered, I really just dislike doing this, then you're going to begin to believe it more. So just change how you feel about something, and I really believe that can help you not build a new habit, but it can help start the process of thinking, okay, this is something that I want to do, not something that I don't want to do. That's really helped me anyway, and actually sometimes does get me doing the washing, so bonus.
And sort of following on from that, another good thing is to break the all or nothing mindset cycle. That's a really big thing with ADHD, definitely something that I struggle with. I do not allow myself the grace to fail. So, you know, if I'm doing something and I'm on a bit of a winning streak and I've done something for, say, I don't know, 20 days, and then day 21 I forget, I will immediately spiral into negative self-talk, like, oh, you're so useless, you couldn't even manage to do this, there's no point in doing it now, you've broken it, you can't even manage this habit, yada, yada, yada. But actually, you don't have to be perfect, and we don't hold ourselves to those standards in other walks of life. You know, like, I've got I've got a friend who's a cyclist and he cycles to work most days. But if, like, on the odd occasion, he drives into work, that doesn't mean that he's no longer a cyclist. Like, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That is the standard that I hold myself to. So if I'm trying to build a habit and I forget once, that's it. It's dead to me. It's gone. It's ridiculous. And, like, in, like, films and stuff, main characters in the film, like, that's part of the, like, the excitement of a film, isn't it? Is often there's a lot of failure involved, and then the victory is all the sweeter because they've overcome the obstacles. If they were like, oh, actually, this is quite difficult and it's dead to me, that would be a very tedious and boring 10-minute film.
And you know what, Shell, you used to be so bad at this, you've gotten so much better. You used to say to me all the time, oh, I can't do this. If this is not happening and I'm not getting this result, then it's dead to me, it's over. I don't want to participate anymore. Yeah. And to be fair, you have gotten a lot better. You have gotten a lot better.
It used to be like my actual phrase, didn't I? I used to say it so much. And I really try and catch myself. I try and now only say it in a joking sense.
Yeah, you actually don't say it's dead to me anymore unless you're joking, which is really good.
Yeah.
At the beginning, everything was dead to you.
It's been a very conscious change. Yeah.
But like Shell said, you don't have to be 100% perfect. It's not possible to do that. I used to, especially at the beginning of the podcast. I mean, I know we did re-record this episode, but that was for a reason. That was for an ADHD mistake. I used to listen to the episodes and think, oh, I never said that in the right way. I need to re-record that bit. But for the last 30 or so episodes, since we started talking about ADHD, I believe that actually giving yourself grace, knowing that you've got ADHD, that you're not going to be perfect, I believe that's really helped me to see that maybe I'm just don't need to see everything as perfect. That I don't actually change the episodes anymore. They just go out as is, even with mistakes. I don't even cut out erms anymore. There'll be times where I do cut things out just because the episode's too long and we're rambling about something and it doesn't really make much sense. But I don't feel the need to be that 100% perfect, that I've got to get this across in the same way. And mainly because, you know, we stopped being perfect in the sense that all the episodes were written out because Shell doesn't do that anymore. So everything is literally
off the cuff,
just on the fly. Yeah. So you don't have to be 100% perfect. We're not robots. We know this podcast is anything but perfect, but we like the fact that it's real and it's not polished or anything like that. We just talk, and not being perfect is part of the reason why we're able to do that. Because I think if we were both sitting here over analysing everything we say all the time, we would never fucking get an episode out.
True, so true.
The next one is to change the system, and we spoke about systems and goals in the past, and they're kind of like interlinked, really. But I think if you're doing something at the moment and you're doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, then something needs to change. Because I used to do certain things over and over again and then expect different results. And I think that is a definition of either stupidity or maybe insanity. I don't know, one of them. But the thing is, with ADHD, you can get creative. You can see things outside of the box. So use your AD to get creative. So some of the things that we've both done to help with things that are very simple, but we really struggle with. For example, I use every cup and every bowl and every spoon if it's clean, because the effort of washing it up as I go along is just too much. So what I did is decided to have only a certain amount of cups, plates, spoons, knives, forks, because then if I do use three bowls or I do use three cups, then I don't have to wash the whole kitchen. I just have to wash three cups, three plates, three spoons, and it's so much more manageable. And it will also force me to do the washing up as I'm going along as well, because I don't overload myself, I don't get overwhelmed, and the washing doesn't seem like a massive task. Another thing that I also do as well is, I might be the anomaly here, but I really like vacuuming. I always have loved vacuuming since I was a kid. I have a Henry Hoover because I like the fact that it lifts the carpet up. But the one thing that I hate about it is it's got a cord and you have to carry it around. And I just noticed that it was so much more effort to vacuum that I'd be leaving it for longer and longer. So I brought a cordless vacuum. And I know that's not possible for everybody, but if you can, invest in one, because it's just so much easier now. I'm vacuuming every day now,
Oh my God. Your current hyper-focus.
Because I've got this vacuum that I can just turn on. It's got no cord. I don't have to plug it in. nothing like that. I just turn it on and away I go, and it's changing my life. So change the system. And I know that you've got various ones, haven't you, Shel, about brushing your teeth?
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean not quite as exciting as yours. I have a spare toothbrush at work, so that when I realise at like 10 o'clock that I've not brushed my teeth, I can run up and do it.
That's awesome. I love it. See what I'm saying about how you can change the system in a unique way? It doesn't have to be the same thing as everybody else. But I mean, if that's something that you really struggle with, a second toothbrush, even if it's down in the kitchen like me, can be a really big like motivator to keep on top of things that you're really struggling with. So definitely change the system.
Another thing that works for me is, which I touched on last week, is habit stacking. So if I do manage to get a habit, I try and stack as much stuff as possible onto that habit, and then that helps it to stick a bit better. It does mean that if the habit gets broken or changed in any way, then the rest of the stack also immediately falls down. But it's a start. It's better than I've ever done previously. So my one that I keep going on about is breakfast. So I've never been someone that ate breakfast ever. I didn't really have time, just raced out the house. But I started taking vitamins every day since December. I mean, I say every day, like I have not managed it every day, but I'm probably getting a good 6 out of 7 days on a good month. But they make my stomach feel a bit sick if I take them on a completely empty stomach, so I won't have eaten since the night before. So I've got into the habit of having breakfast and then taking the vitamins and making sure that I drink like plenty throughout the day, starting with that first drink that I have with the vitamins, like first glass of water, that like sets me off. And I find that if I drink first thing, then I recognise the rest of the day a bit better that I'm thirsty. Whereas if I don't drink, it can be like 2-3 o'clock and I'll suddenly think, oh, I've not drank or urinated all day today. But if something goes wrong with that, so that stack works really, really well, usually when I'm in a routine anyway. So if I'm going to work, I've got a time deadline, I have to get up at the same time, go through sort of the same vague motions and then get in the car and go to work. Whereas, say on the weekend, if I'm not working and, you know, I come downstairs and I have a bit more of a leisurely breakfast, I might have something a bit different for breakfast, a bit of a special breakfast, because I've not had that initial routine.
Might have the avocado on toast.
I might slap a bit of avocado on my toast.
And, so special,
I know, the wild life I lead. But then because I've done that and I've probably sat down, that's probably the key actually, not the avocado, it's that I've sat down. So normally I'll stand up and I'll be eating my toast and I'll be getting the vitamins like out ready, and or I'll take them as the toast is like cooking. But like on the weekend, I'll get the toast and, you know, I'll make a breakfast for my daughter and then we'll go and sit down and we'll have breakfast together. And then because I've done that, I forget to take the vitamins, which means I forget to drink the water with the vitamins, which means I don't take any vitamins. Yeah. And I barely drink all day. So that's the downside to habit stacking. But the plus side is on the days that you have structure, it works really well. So if I go to work, I work 3 to 4 days a week, depending on which day, which week it is. That means that I can keep that habit for at least those days. And if it's something like taking vitamins, if I manage to take them 3 days a week, like it's not good for some people, but I've never managed that my entire life. So actually 3 days a week is pretty good for me.
And again, that is a change in mindset from the all or nothing. 3 days is better than none or one.
Exactly.
Which brings us on to our next one, which is to change or challenge your identity. So telling yourself that you're the kind of person that does this can really help. So what helps me is when I'm trying to do something that's really hard, and I find a lot of things hard, is I'll tell myself that I'm the kind of person that does this. I'll give you an example. Smoking. So when I quit smoking, I said to myself, I am not a smoker. I don't smoke anymore. So if anyone offered me a cigarette, I'd be like, no, don't smoke. Whereas before, I'd say things like, oh, I'm trying to quit. And I was more likely to take a cigarette because I'm telling myself that I'm the kind of person that I'm trying to do something, that I'm not that kind of person. And sometimes this can be really hard for people and it might not work for you. But it's just about believing in yourself that you can change who you are and you can change your abilities and that you can do things. And I think that's a really positive message. I know that in some ways that can be a bit toxic, but I'm not talking about it from a toxic standpoint. I'm talking about it from a way of saying to yourself that I want to keep these promises to myself that I am the kind of person who does X, Y, and Z. And if you can think like that and change the identity of yourself, then you're more likely to follow through with the things that you don't want to do or that you do want to do.
Sorry, I totally zoned out then. I have no idea what you said past smoking. I'm so sorry.
That's because I was boring.
No, I just, my mind is just elsewhere. It's been a long day. Sorry. Do you know what?
It's okay.
It's so funny because the next point is about accountability and using shame as a motivator.
Shame.
Oh, shame. So shame is a really big motivator for me. It's probably not a healthy way to get things done, but sometimes you just need to get shit done. However, it's going to happen. And shame is a really big one. So accountability, if I've got someone who knows that I'm meant to be somewhere or that I'm meant to do something, it's so much more likely to get done than if I'm trying to do it off my own free will. Like, I will often tell people on purpose about things I'm intending to do just to give me the motivation to do them. Like, if I'm thinking like, oh, I don't really want to do that anymore, or I'm not sure I'm going to get that done, I'll tell someone about it and then it's just much more likely to actually happen. So yeah, accountability is a big one for me.
Yeah, I think it's one of your biggest ones, I've noticed.
Do you think?
If I shame you, it gets done. I'm just gonna
it's just like tapping into my anxiety that just never goes away, but like the moment there's a hint of shame, it just dials straight up to 10. Pumped full of adrenaline, but you know, it does get stuff done, so I can't whine. It's probably not healthy, like I said. It's not a sustainable way to achieve life goals or good for your mental health, but it works in short-term things.
Well, I mean, you can use accountability in a healthy way. We did do an episode on that. I do think it's full of loads of tips. If you want an accountability partner, go back and listen to that episode. It's one of the earlier episodes. I don't remember what number it is, but hopefully you can find it. But it has a lot of information on accountability partners, and I think it might be really useful if you are somebody that does do well with accountability. The last one that we've got on here is breaking habits into manageable pieces. So small bite-sized steps go a really long way. And the reason that I put this one in here was because I know everybody says it. Everyone always says, oh, just do it in smaller steps. But I really think this is the most important thing, because with ADHD, it's got its own unique challenges and it's also got strengths that neurotypical brains do not have. So the best thing you can do is start with small, achievable aims. Aim for them to be really small, that can minimize resistance. And if you do feel any resistance, then it might be a bit too ambitious, so you kind of need to just go back a few steps. So I spoke about this before. When I wanted to quit sugar, I used to just tip sugar into my drinks. Like, I didn't even use to count it, I used to tip it. And then I thought, I can't carry on this way, I'm going to ruin my teeth, I'm going to ruin everything, basically. So I decided I was going to stop. And initially I thought, I am just going to stop sugar. I can do it, you know, I can do this. And very quickly I learned that I couldn't do it because I got headaches, I got withdrawal symptoms, and I was craving more sugar than ever before. And then I was literally just eating sugar out of a jar.
Oh my God.
From the spoon. Ugh. Like, it wasn't even going in the drink anymore. So to manage the break the habit of having sugar in my tea, which, just to preface this, I don't have sugar in my tea or coffee anymore. I can't stand it. Even if there's a little grain now, I can kind of taste it and it's just disgusting. I just went down in little steps. So I started off by actually having the same amount of sugar. I tipped how much I would into a normal jar. And if there was 14 spoons in there, that's what I'd start with. And then each every other day I'd just go down a spoon, and if I didn't ever, if it didn't feel a bit too sweet, I'd just put the spoon back, and then the next day I'd try again, and just go down and down and down into a smaller step, so that in the end, I was getting used to just having one sugar, half a sugar, until I had no sugars. And that's basically what you do when you break a habit into manageable pieces. So if you want to start exercising, think about the tiniest step that you can handle. Could it be spending 10 minutes at the gym, or just simply getting dressed in the morning for a run or a jog, just for 1 minute? These might seem really small, but setting the smallest possible goal can make it easier to stay committed. And just remember that developing habits is always going to be a gradual process. So going at a small pace and telling yourself that you are capable of changing rather than you can't, and getting rid of all or nothing thinking, can really help ADHD people build good habits over time.
Lovely. Just enough time for what did you ADHD this week? Sparky, I think it's your turn.
No, I did last week because I drank the antifreeze.
Oh, shit.
Definitely your turn.
Okay, so what did I ADHD this week? I have dropped a hyperfocus.
Dropped one.
So long-term listeners will remember a couple of months ago, I was obsessed with all things orchid. I got up to double figures in plants. I've got bags and bags of the potting stuff. I've got misters. I've got multiple different types of food. I've got special cutters and scissors. I've got all the shit, basically. I could open my own orchid farm right now. And I've just totally gone off them. It's your fault, Sparky. You ruined them for me. Yeah, because you said to me, and I feel like this is just like permeated, and I've just heard this over and over again in my mind, even though you only said it once, until now I'm like, he's right. He's fucking right.
You said
to me, I just don't like orchids because they change so much.
They
look really nice with the flowers, and then the flowers die. You're just left with a stalk and leaves. I like plants like an aloe that always looks the same. And at the time, I remember being like, yeah. And then that's just like, that phrase has just like haunted me because that is what I'm like. I like things that the plants that I like are the ones that stay the same. It does cause me insane stress when they start dropping their flowers and they look really shit and I have to like move them around and keep rotating them. And actually, I do prefer the plants that just look the same. And so overnight, well, I suppose it's taken a while to actually make the decision, but the decision has been overnight. Orchids are dead to me. They're gone.
I love how in this episode we said Shell doesn't really say things are dead to her anymore, and now you've completely cut out a hyperfocus, a hobby of yours.
No, but this isn't dead to me because I wasn't good at it. This is dead to me because I realised.
This is dead to me because of someone's opinion.
It's not right for me. No, but you didn't say it to be saying what I should do. You gave your opinion and I realised actually that was my opinion too. And I was just forcing myself to like the orchids because I do think they're very pretty and I do like them. But you're right, I don't like that they change.
I'm sorry, this is hilarious. I have to laugh. I don't like that the flowers change.
I hate it. I get so stressed about as soon as I see the flowers starting to die, I'm like, oh, fucking hell, it's happening again. And I can't deal with it. It's too much.
Stop it. I can't breathe.
So actually, after becoming the world expert on orchids in my 6 month intensive hyperfocus period, I'm over them now. They're all free to a good and all of the accessories that went with them.
I mean, I would feel bad about giving this opinion, but honestly, it's hilarious.
I haven't broken the news to Jamie yet, because I think he will be...
He'd hit the roof.
I think he'll be considerably stressed, considering how much of my life has been taken over by these orchids.
Yeah, I mean, at one
repotting
point...
repotting them you all were the time. Them. And bathing them and misting them. To know that now we are giving them all away will be quite the blow, I think.
Yeah, to go go from such an obsession to overnight they're dead to me?
They were literally like extensions of my children, and now I just look at them and I'm like, ugh, changed again.
It's happening again. I can't get over it.
Oh, so yeah, God. That's what I did this week.
Oh my God, can I just ask before we go?
I'm really glad that I didn't put Orchid Enthusiast in my bio on our podcast.
Where are they going?
I don't know yet, but they need to be gone. So if you know anyone that wants to set up their own like orchid breeding program,
email us. They're all free to a good home. I tell you what, I've got one. Leave us a review and we'll send you an orchid.
Oh my God. Oh dear.
On that note.
God. This has really tickled you. I did not think you were going to be this bothered about my orchids.
I'm invested in these orchids.
I know, yeah, I was sending my how-to tutorials to you. That's how you bath them.
Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week with another episode of all things ADHD.
Bye.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.